All right. So, some people asked, why this name? Prisma. Prisma, of course, is not an English word. But there is an equivalent, which is prism. Not prison. Prism. Okay? Prism. And if I'm not mistaken, the origin of the name came because, of course, a prism will get light in one side, like white light, and it will just make it colorful, diffuse it. Diffuse is the right word. Thank you. Diffuse it and make it colorful and beautiful. And if I remember correctly, that was the reason why the name was chosen in the first place. Back in 1980. There you go. In Brazil. And so, if you are good in math, I am not. But we're about 42 years. It has been about 42 years that this ministry has been happening in Brazil. And throughout this 40 years, many, many, many lives have been touched by this ministry. Not just Adventist people, but people from all religions and people that were not even interested in religion. I'm sure if I ask the founder of the group, he will have many, many stories of people that were touched by this ministry. And by the way, he's here with us this morning. His name is Eli, which spells E-L-I, Eli, like the prophet. And he is a good friend, very good friend. We worked together for a while back in Brazil. Actually, he was my first boss. Yeah. And I remember when we started working together. Anyway, and it was very, very nice. And throughout the years, I was blessed with the opportunity of working again with this ministry called Prisma in Brazil. So we cut records together. I played with them in a few occasions. And it was always very, very nice. And it was very an honor to me to be able to help somehow in this ministry. So happens that about, 8 months ago? Yeah, about 8 months ago, we got together to sing some songs. And because there are several former members of this group in Brazil, namely Gianna, Dalva, Cato, Denilson, Eli, they were part, at some point in time, they were part of the group in Brazil. So when we got together to sing, somebody said, "Hey, you guys are Prisma USA." And, of course, we thought it was a joke. But then the actual director of Prisma Brazil, which is here today as well, said, "No. That's correct. You are Prisma USA." So when it comes from the mouth of the director, then you accept. So today I am honored as well to help directing this version of Prisma, which now is called Prisma USA, which is actually not the first instance. In about 89, 90, we had Prisma USA before. Late 80s, right? 89, 88, por aí. Yeah, late 80s, there was another Prisma USA, which happened for a while, and then the group stopped doing their ministry. But now we're back. For the glory and honor of our God, we're back. And I would like to thank Eli and Rafael and the whole family, because Prisma started as a family ministry and grew immensely. It was blessed by God. So, Rafa, can you stand, please? This is Rafael. He is the now director of Prisma Brazil. And Eli is the founder of the group and was the director for many, many, many years. So we are really blessed to have you here with us tonight. And also, let me give a shout to everybody that is watching us. I know we're live. Are we live? How many people are watching us? 75 people. So there's almost as many people as we have at church this morning. And, I'm sorry? Oh yeah, there's the whole family is here. We have Eli, we have Hugo, we have Rafa, Yael. Too many things going on in my head today. I could barely pray. And if you think it's easy, try praying. Try talking to a friend for 45 years, and then suddenly you have to talk to him in a different language. It's weird. So I still struggle to pray in English. But anyway, that's something else. But anyway, thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for letting us be part of your family too. That is a huge blessing. And I imagine that for as long as we can, we'll do our best to praise God, to glorify His name, to honor Him through this ministry that now is growing to our family too. We have here Sarah, which is the Newsons' daughter. We have Isaac, that is our daughter, Julia. I'm telling you guys, it's too much. Our son. And we have Claire, that which is not here today, but you know, the ministry is passing from generation to generation. The next song we're going to sing is arguably the most popular song of Prisma throughout the years. If you go on YouTube, you're going to find something on the vicinity of 20 million views. And you will, if you start seeing the comments, many, 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 many people have stories of how they got blessed by the song in any given moment. So we're going to be singing this in Portuguese, and you're going to have the translation there. And we're going to try to do our best to pass the message, because it's a powerful message. And I'm going to invite Eli to play with us. And Ellen, Hugo, are you singing too? Hugo is going to come and sing with us as well. Rafa, are you singing or just filming? Just filming, okay.
And a side note, Clayton wrote this song.
Thank you.
Ipsos, it is an agency that does like public opinion polls and statistics. And last year they did a study with 27 countries. And they asked people what were their opinion about how the countries were, you know, how society was in their countries. And 76% of these people said they thought of their countries as being divided somehow. And in some countries, like in Serbia, 93% would say their country was divided. You're from a neighboring country, right, David? I'm sorry? There is a country. You're from Serbia? I thought you're from Croatia. Okay, so were you born in Serbia? No, you're born here. Okay. But anyway, so in Serbia, 93% think their country is divided. And if I ask here in the U.S., how many people think the country is divided? Is there anybody here that thinks the country is fine, is not divided? I don't think so, right? Of course, there are exceptions. Like in Saudi Arabia, they only 34% of people think the country is divided. But from these 27 countries, 67%, or in other words, the big majority thinks we're living in times in which society is very, very divided. And personally, I believe that. I believe we have never seen the world so divided. And before, when I was younger, you know, and we were with friends, there are basically only two things that would divide us. It would be politics and soccer. Because we would have different teams and, you know, there would always be division with people. And believe me, I don't know how it is now in Brazil because I haven't been there for many, many years. But, you know, you would have parties splitting up because they started talking about soccer and this team and that, and people would leave. Anyway, police brutality, vaccines, gender identity, Planned Parenthood. I believe even here at church, if I start asking you guys, what is your take on that? What is your position? Well, we have very, very powerful discussions here. We were in another church just last Sabbath. And after service, I approached one of the gentlemen that were hosting us there. And when I got close to, when I was coming close to him inside church, I heard like a really inflamed discussion about, you know, the pro-choice movement and things like that. I was like, really? Even inside our church? Anyway, social media doesn't help, right? Because now everybody has a voice. So before, I could talk to a person for a long time without knowing exactly what they think. But now with social media, everybody can express what they think. And discussions can become pretty nasty. I don't know if you guys ever got yourselves into a situation in which you make like one simple comment and then like you're bombarded with lots of people. And there's so much hate. Is it just me? Is this just my perception? I don't think so. The Emperor Julius Caesar, the Roman Emperor, he coined the phrase or the expression "divide et impera," divide and conquer. I will invite you to open your Bibles in Matthew 12:25. And before we read, I'll pray again. Heavenly Father, once again, I would like to ask your presence here as we open your word, that your voice might be heard and not mine. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus himself said in Matthew 12:25, and I'm reading a little bit further. He said, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand." Throughout history, that was a very, very powerful strategy. I was just talking to Cristiano last night about this, bouncing back ideas. A big part of Hitler's success is that he adopted this strategy. He would say, "We're going to defeat them from within." In other words, let them fight among themselves, because then they get weak and then we can conquer. And he would do this by the means of telling them, "Hey, do you remember Austria? See, the Austrians did this and this and that, and they have this, so many Jews. We have to attack Austria." But then one country would say, "Oh no, we are friends." Okay, so now this country that doesn't attack Austria becomes an enemy too. You see how it works? If I get to a group of friends, okay, and they're friends, and I get to one of them and say, "Have you noticed this guy and such and such? Have you noticed that this and that? You know, I think he's saying stuff about you. I think he doesn't like you." What did I just do? What did I just do? I planted a little seed of doubt. And where there's doubt, there's no trust. Please open your Bibles with me on Acts 1:14. And in my New King James Version, it reads, "These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women," "supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." And then let's move to Acts 2:1-4. "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." I'm on Acts 2:3. "Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance." What is the common word here on both verses? These all continue with one accord. And on verse 2:1, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord." Can anybody help me here? What accord means? What is an accord? Sorry? Is what? An agreement. What else? Same purpose. All right, if you go to the origin of the word, it means exactly that. It comes from a French word, which means to be in agreement. But it's a little stronger than that. You know, sometimes things don't translate with the full sense of it. So it really if you break down the word, it goes straight to the heart. Cœur. Accord, d'accord, cœur. Heart. So it's more than just agree. It's having the same heart. But there's another word that I like a lot that comes from the same root. Chord comes from a chord. You know what a chord is? What is a chord? We have many musicians here. What is a chord? I'm sorry? The root, the third, and the fifth. Yeah, that can be a chord. It can be also the root, the fourth, and fifth. Right? Yeah, sure. Anyway, music geekery here. But yeah, a chord in music is when you play two or more notes together. And I'm sorry? You get harmony. And guess what? The word accord also means being in harmony. Now, you know what the interesting thing is about accord? Because we always think, well, they were in one accord. They were just like one. Yes, but no. Because guess what? If I play two notes, but they are the same, guess what? I don't have harmony. I don't have accord. I need two different notes, at least, playing together to have accord. Or three. Or maybe four. Now, if you go to the jazz realm, then you're going to have five or six notes forming a chord. The thing is, they are different, but they are serving the same purpose. They work in harmony. There is a quotation from the Acts of Apostles, which is a book written by Ellen White. And unfortunately, I don't have the page here. I can find it later if you guys want me, if somebody needs the reference. But it reads like this. It's on the first chapter, the chapter that talks about the Pentecost. It reads like this. The disciples prayed with intense earnestness for a fitness to meet men and in their daily intercourse to speak words that would lead sinners to Christ. Putting away all differences, all desire for the supremacy, they came close together in Christian fellowship. So did you pay attention to that? Putting away all differences, all desire for supremacy. They drew near and near to God, and as they did, they realized what a privilege had been theirs in being permitted to associate so closely with Christ. Sadness filled their hearts as they thought of how many times they had grieved Him by their slowness of comprehension, their failure to understand the lessons that for their good He was trying to teach them. In the General Conference Daily Bulletin in 1893, she also wrote this. Our work is plainly laid down in the Word of God. And our work, she means us as Christians. Christian is to be united to Christian. Church to church, the human instrumentality cooperating with the divine. Every agency to be subordinated to the Holy Spirit. And all to be combined in giving to the world the good tidings of the grace of God. It says here what? Christian working with Christian. Unity. When the disciples were promised power through the Holy Spirit. They only received it when they were able to leave all the differences behind and in one accord unite in mission. Same purpose, same God, same desire to bring Christ to the others. That is the secret of receiving power. It is impossible for us to receive the power of the Holy Spirit that we so much need if we're not able to leave behind our differences. And don't take me wrong, you always have your opinions. You always have your worldview, because that's how you are. That's who you are. But in order to receive the Holy Spirit, in order to have power, power to transform lives, power to heal physically and emotionally, we need to be united. From the beginning of the origin of sin, Satan has been using the same strategy throughout history. He was only able to be heard in heaven because somehow he was able to divide the angels. And that brought us to where we are today. The strategy is the same. Satan's objective was, is, and will ever be to cause division, discord, and doubt. Christ, on the other hand, came to bring reconciliation, to unite, and to not only preach, but to be the truth. And through his life and through his sacrifice, he was able to prove that God's love was right and that the accusations that Satan was doing were nothing but lies. We're here today, this morning, to remind you that we don't have too much time in this earth. I don't know if you believe, like I believe, that the history of humanity is close to its end. And if you start asking people that are not believers in the biblical sense, even scientists might tell you, hey, our days here on this earth are counted. Things are going to become very difficult. They already are. They're not going to get any better. We don't have much time. We don't have time for division. We don't have time to exacerbate our differences. Now is the time for us to unite. And this is not on my script here, but I need to tell you this. If you have somebody that you have been struggling to forgive, forgive. If there's somebody in your life that you have been butting heads with for a long time, let go. We don't have time. I know it's easy to say, right? Because then we meet the person again. But you know what? I believe I serve a God that can transform any kind of situation, that can solve any kind of problem if we want Him to, if we give Him permission to. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As individuals, as a musical group, as a family, as a church, as a community. Let's unite. Let's be in one accord, like the disciples were. That's the only way we'll be able to finish the mission that was given to us. I'm going to invite the group to come here. We're going to sing one last song. And I know we have a closing hymn on the program, but I think we're going to close the service with this song. The song has a very, very powerful message. It talks about how easy we let ourselves be carried away by our differences. But it also says that for as long as there is love, we can conquer our differences. And for as long as there is love, we will stand.
Change tomorrow.